Hi, my name's Kathy McKenzie, and I'm the director of Fire Up Coaching. And I'm so excited that we've finally started to carve out some time to get our podcast back and going. And I thought the best kickoff to the 2024 podcast would to be having my, I don't know, we call you my right-hand man or my left-hand man, Craig. What's the best?
Whichever's the better of those hands, Kath, I'll take.
Okay. So for those of you who don't know, it's Craig Levitt and I have been collaborating together since 2008, so a long time. And we've seen business change a lot in that time. And particularly in the last, 5 years, there's just been so much complexity in organizations. And Craig and I have, been working with different organizations. We run our public coach training programs, and we just hear so many different things. But in particular, we've noticed that there's been a real shift towards organizations recognizing that emotional intelligence is a really important aspect of their business. And hence, I thought Craig and I would have a chat about that today because it's going to be the theme of our conference. And it's something that we both recognize as being, a critical foundation. So, Craig, what do you think, like from your perspective, what do you think is making organizations turn to emotional intelligence training currently?
Well, I think no doubt, Kath, times have changed, and it's an interesting thing, what Daniel Goleman's book is now like, nearly 30 years old, that book, Emotional Intelligence. And how long has it actually taken for that to really now come to the fore? And I think it was through COVID. I think all the changes that we saw through COVID certainly made people start to say, the way that we work is different now. Okay, the way that we work is different. I think we all saw it coming. But that really fast tracked. And what we're seeing now is that there's no question that, leaders who are more empathetic and more adaptable are more flexible, more resilient, and maybe even have that element of optimism are certainly the leaders that are making a difference in workplaces around the country, Kath. That ability, there's so many different things in play now, but how we recognize employees, how they're feeling, and how that is impacting performance was something we never looked at before, and we've got on other areas like how psychological safety, Kath, and I know that's something we'll talk about now, is how that can actually motivate people day in, day out, also to increase performance and giving people skills to be able to manage themselves. When I look at a definition of what emotional intelligence is, and I start to think about, well, it's really about being able to have self-awareness of our emotions and awareness of others' emotions, but also more importantly, how that can aid connection with oneself and others. So either how can we then not only become aware, but how can we modify and manage the emotions? And there's nowhere that plays out great now, I don't think, than in organizations and teams, Kath.
And I think it's been interesting observing too that there's still a lot of leaders that are stuck in that old paradigm of command and control. And that's driving some of the real challenges for HR and learning and development professionals. What do you think from your experience with working some of those big companies recently? I know I had a conversation this morning with someone who is in academia, and was expressing that there's still that real hierarchy, and that's one of the things that needs to break down. But, what have you seen as some of the other problems with leadership and team development programs?
Well, look, it's certainly a challenge, and we all sort of talk in the coaching space, Kath. You can only coach to your own level of awareness or your own level of involvement, and I think that's the thing that's also striking the organizations. How can we get the message across, or how can people become self-aware of this need to change? Okay, so let me give you a little sidetrack example, if that's okay.
Yeah, great.
I was in a sales job 15 years ago, and I knew my script down pat. I knew everything about the products, et cetera, but I wasn't necessarily achieving optimal performance. And the lead trainer 6 months in, he said, I'm going to give everyone a book. Do you know what book he gave me? Daniel Goleman,
No.
Emotional Intelligence.
Ah, really?
Right? Because he could see what I needed. Okay. And I think that's an important thing, Kath, is that A, sometimes it takes, maybe for those that may have a lower emotional awareness quotient sort of thing, it may take someone else to actually acknowledge it for them. So we need to make sure that in an organization that there is enough people who are aware of the attributes and an environment or a culture where they'll accept feedback. Okay, so that's sort of an overview, if that's okay. But there's no question, some of the problems that we see in normal leadership development programs are some things like that difficulty in being able to measure results, you know, that effect.
Yes.
We really need to be able to benchmark,
Yeah.
train and learn and measure. So there's no doubt that's a critical thing. Some of these leadership programs are sort of like are trying to be like a one size fits all, okay? And they don't
Yes,
have the
yeah.
ability to customize or identify what's really going on for that team and understand the dynamics within the team. They're trying to put a one, you know, a one size fits all into the organization. Okay. We've got, you know, that traditional challenge of sometimes we don't have buy-in from the senior execs. Okay. And that can happen in any of these areas.
Yes.
Not having the practical elements, and that's where coaching goes alongside
Yeah.
any emotional intelligence tool, whether it's individuals or teams, is how does the person change? How do we actually allow the person to identify what they need to do to change? Just a couple more. One is it's got to be a long-term engagement.
Yeah,
I think we've
for
all been in
sure.
places where we've gone to a training session for 3 days and everyone's gone, now that's the solution. Change doesn't happen quickly. And again, that last thing is that there's not always a focus on the team and
Yeah.
understanding, as I mentioned earlier, what are the critical dynamics within that team and are there tools to measure specifically what's going on for those members to address potentially each team differently?
Yeah, fantastic. And look, you know, like if I was to sum that up, what you're saying is that things are too generic.
Yes.
Then you've got that classic problem, which I hit in some really big ways last year, where the learning and development and organizational development managers could see the need in the organization, and they just could not get the execs to sign off on anything that would progress the professional development in the organization. And so it was very frustrating for them, and equally frustrated because frustrating for me when I went into some of those meetings and experienced what I don't very often experience because I work for myself and with a team that are very emotionally intelligent. I experienced when I pointed out sort of obvious blind spots in a meeting in a way that was kind of, you know, empathetic,
Yes.
just complete defensiveness about that. And that's the problem with these very senior leaders who go straight into a threat response if you give them any candid feedback. Like, if you know, if you demonstrate what, you know, Amy Edmondson in her fabulous book, Fearless Organization, talks about the importance of candor and being able to create these environments where people can give feedback, but also that people are really happy to receive feedback and then to act on that. And so that's, you know, what you're saying around practical application. If you've got that resistance from senior leaders and then they're not, you know, I actually had someone recently ask me if I could do a half hour emotional intelligence training in their organization.
Yeah.
And I didn't, I can't laugh at them, but it is laughable that people expect that they're going to get any kind of culture shift in half an hour.
Look, you know, and I think what's important too, Kath, and you know, over my corporate life, I have done, you know, probably every psychometric test known to man when I was looking for,
You and I both,
particularly
yeah.
when going, you know, for your executive jobs. And the interesting thing is that many of us are very comfortable to accept the validity, particularly when it comes to that classic IQ type capability, you know,
Yeah.
and most, I'd imagine most senior executives have undergone some psychometric test, which has probably put them somewhere in the top 5% or the top 2% of the population in terms of those traditional elements of IQ, etc. And they're quite happy to accept those results. What is needed in this emotional intelligence space, which is where we're working also, is what is a tool that can actually give me some information about how I'm performing that's got validity that says, oh, EQ is as important as IQ. You've got this tool over here. This is a very credible tool that will actually identify your own emotional intelligence. And then as long as we've got acceptance, then we might get some change. Because again, you know, wherein we know also, isn't it, that many executives in firms tend to be a little bit more left brain, okay? And they're looking for evidence. And that's where the evidence of a valid tool is really important.
Yeah, and look, that's why I've been excited with some of the new relationships we've created over the last few years. And Roche Martin obviously has been one of the ones that's been a really fabulous, what would I say? We've brought in the Roche Martin tools, and they've been a really great supplement to what we were already doing. But the combination of that with some of the work we're now about to start doing with data-driven insights, where we get a real an app where people can measure that and we can evaluate it on an ongoing basis. And I think this is where they're very complementary to what we do. And the team report, which has only just come out for Roche Martin, which is about what we're going to present on at the conference, as well as this exciting app, which we'll talk about more in another podcast, but for this conversation, I really wanted to go a bit further into what the team emotional intelligence research has shown are the components. So, can you share a bit more for people who are listening about what's important in team emotional intelligence?
Absolutely, Kath. And there's no question that emotional intelligence is what is the platform of which high performing teams are actually built these days. There's absolutely no question about it. It's not just about leadership, which we've seen such great shifts forward with the emotional intelligence tools for individuals, but how the team actually works together, you know, how they can recognize and, you know, and Roche Martin have developed 10 competencies about how teams can actually move to that element of high performance and how they can actually identify individually how the team's working. Now it's sort of, you know, we could talk for hours about how the tool is structured and the competencies can, but there's really three real components or motivators of motivational states. And the first one is around psychological safety, which I mentioned earlier, and that's a critical component of teamwork. The second one about how the team identifies as a group. And then thirdly, what Roche Martin talk about, which is about team efficacy. Okay. And so what do these mean? I think we all know in relation to psychological safety, we're talking about emotional awareness, the trust that actually exists within the teams, and also stress management, you know, how the team actually works in different environments, under stress environments. And they're really key components of psychological safety.
Great. And I think the new introduction of the legislation around psychosocial hazards. Now, if you'd have said that, if you'd even used words like that 10 years ago, people would have looked at you like you'd lost your mind. And they are a bit of getting people a bit tongue-tied, but by psychosocial hazards, we mean those people in the workplace that have low emotional intelligence, that are demonstrating behaviors that are not being called out, or if they get feedback, they get aggressive and go into that hierarchical power kind of position. So that's there. That's real. I think the psychological safety is something that people understand a bit more. Tell me a bit more about, the team identity. What's that include?
Yeah, I suppose what we're really getting to here is how people can experience some positive sense of being included. So it's about inclusivity into a group and how the team goals and aspirations are shared. So it comes down to how is the team as a collective being motivated? How are they all contributing to the total performance of the group? We start to see things firstly about, you know, team responsibility, you know, and that we know that's a critical thing, not just individual responsibility, but then your responsibility to the group and to the others. The elements of team motivation, you know, how is the team maintaining an enthusiastic commitment to setting and achieving the goals, Kath? And then lastly, the elements of relationship and teamwork, you know, how do they work together as equals to support each other and assist the total group, you know? Because there's no question many of us have been up in those environments where they can be quite competitive, aren't they, as opposed to being collaborative or being
Oh,
inclusive.
absolutely, absolutely. And it you know, there's a certain sense of identity that people get from being that senior leader or the being the executive or the director or having that, you know, that label gives them that sort of kudos. Or, you know, if we go into the work that David Rock does around status, like, you know, for people who love that kind of social trigger of status,
Yes.
It's pretty hard for them sometimes to let go and operate in that kind of equal, you know, one of his other things is like it's status, certainty, autonomy, relate, you know, relatability and fairness. So, you know, the you know, for organizations to really operate in a fair, you know, in a fair and equitable way to all people is a big task.
Oh, absolutely. And particularly when it comes within then within the specific group. So if we start to look at that third element, which is team efficacy, okay, we're starting to talk about, well, what's the collective belief of all the team that all the team members have the ability and the capacity to work well as a team? Okay. So there's no undermining, there's just support. So we start to look at, well, what's the confidence in relation to each individual's contributions? What's the communication like within the team? Elements of communication. How adaptable or agile are each of the individuals and the team as a group to move and to shift into different in different environments? And then lastly, the biggie, you know, and I think that, you know, when we started to look at the individual emotional intelligence, we saw that the competency of optimism was probably the most attributed to success. So at this level with the team report, we start to look at team optimism, Kath. You know,
Yeah, absolutely.
how does the team sense opportunities in the face of change, in the face of adversity? How resilient are they, and how much can they, you know, they bounce back from setbacks, and how much they can focus on the big picture to create success amongst the group?
And it's interesting, isn't it, Craig? Because like what we see is that, you know, when you do get it's to get that team optimism.
Yep.
You have to have a team focus, and that's what we'll talk at another time about team coaching. But I was just looking up what efficacy means because I remember I used to always have to look it up. But it says the ability, because you know I'm not such a wordsmith at times, the ability to produce a desired or intended result. And I think that's a big part of it is that a lot of the times these days, people have a clear intention, but they actually don't get the, you know, the gap between what their intended result and what the actual result is because they can't get that team to operate together. They're too busy with all their individual stuff going on to be able to let go of that individual stuff and really work together for the greater good. And I know that's aspirational, but it's really what this whole piece of work that we're starting to get into around, team psychological safety, team emotional intelligence, and how team coaching then drives the implementation of that forward. And that's what this whole team day at the conference is going to be about. And it's great for people, whether they're coaches who are going into bigger organizations or what we've seen a massive growth in is internal coaches, which, you know, 15 years ago, that didn't even exist as a role. Whereas now there are so many internal coaches in organizations. So it's a pretty exciting time to be getting involved in this. And, you
Absolutely,
know,
Kath. You know, and I think just from your point there, you know, if we look back at what some of the challenges have been, you know, what is great about this tool is that A, we've got immediate measurable results. You know, we've got that benchmark at the beginning, and then we can look at points in time to see how the team is actually shifting. And the great thing about the Roche Martin work is it actually identifies strategies and actions that with the support of coaching can absolutely make the difference and lead to change. And we know that change is not always easy for people.
Oh, absolutely. And then if we've got an app where people can do little bits of micro learning and all that sort of stuff, which is the PSI. So between the Roche Martin, the PSI and the coaching, that's when you should see organizations achieving results pretty quickly. Like it was what I loved about one of the conversations I had with Ash and Abby when I met them in Perth was that they had an aged care facility that was piloting this new psychological safety and inclusion program. And in the first 12 months, they, excuse me, they managed to decrease their agency fees and, temporary staff costs by 500,000. And, so
Wow.
it's twice today I've had organizations say to me, "Oh, we haven't got a lot of budget to send people along to that." And I just want to say to people, it costs money not to do this kind of stuff.
Well, it is that investment. I always loved that Richard Branson quote, when he was asked about the value of training, Kath.
Yes.
And someone says, well,
Yes.
what if you train all these people and they leave? And his response was, what if I don't train them and they stay?
Yes,
Which is a
absolutely.
beautiful response. But look, it's interesting when you start to talk about impacts and effects, because look, there's many different theories about how long it takes to create new habits and to change. You'll hear someone says 7 days or someone says 21 days. And I think there's a little bit more evidence these days that it can be, sort of, 8 to 10 weeks or something. But what we start to see in this emotional intelligence space is that we've actually identified real change within individuals in just 3 or 4 weeks. Okay.
Yeah,
There's no question
amazing.
about that. We've started to see for, leaders, a whole teams of leaders starting to see real impacts, within 3 months. And there's no question that a program that can be supported around about that potentially 6 month stage, we'll absolutely see absolutely the creation of new habits and fully embedded habits within that time frame, Kath.
Well, that's a pretty exciting thing to hear is that, it's not years, which sometimes, actually, and I'm not sure whether I reckon Richard Branson stole that off Warren Buffett, but I've been around that. That's how long I've been around. Anyway, but it is true, like, if you don't train people and they stay, like that's the what it's what I see in health all the time is that the good people come in, or sorry, not let me reframe that. I'll often see that because the organization doesn't have a commitment to growing effective teams, you'll get an individual that teams rotate around because good people come in, that person doesn't operate as part of an effective team. So those people feel isolated, they feel like they can't impact change, and so they exit. And so you get this retention and this revolving door issue, and that's probably one of the biggest issues is staff retention and engagement. And I know that's something that Sasha's going to talk about at the conference. So, yeah, look, I think this is a great introduction to thinking about that emotional intelligence piece and team emotional intelligence, which is something that's such an exciting area for organizations to be starting to foster and implement. And any last thoughts as we wrap up?
Well, everyone's always looking for an edge.
Yes.
Every organization is also looking for hopefully a competitive edge. And we can see these days the speed of turnaround in terms of, your competitors matching your product or your service. It's so quick to be copied. What you can't copy, and you see this in organizations with strong cultures, Kath, what you can't copy is the people.
Yeah, that's right.
And
Absolutely.
that's where I think we're starting to see in this communication age is where we can support people to absolutely deliver on their potential. And then in this instance, where we can get teams to deliver on their potential. There's a great saying, isn't it? If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go with a team.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah,
And
it's so true. So
these
true.
sorts of tools are brilliant for supporting that.
And just in wrapping up, artificial intelligence, is going to be something that saves us so much time from not doing sort of repetitive tasks that don't contribute terribly much to the team. So I think, a lot of people have a lot of fear about, ooh, AI and how it's going to, impact on things. As you say, there's components of repetitive stuff that AI, and look, having a look at the new chat GPT-4 versions, this is even why it's even more important for teams to be productive and effective and harnessing an augmented intelligence. So, using artificial intelligence with human intelligence to really foster that innovation and creativity. And I met an amazing woman when I was away traveling who runs an AI company. And we just had some of the richest conversations around possibilities going forward. But they were ideas coming out of us as human beings that wouldn't have been potentially possible just with telling ChatGPT, how do I create a great organization? Because there's only so far that technology can take us before we need human connection and those sorts of human elements.
Correct.
So let's talk more next time, Craig, about team coaching.
Absolutely.
If people are interested in the conference, go to our website and we'd be excited to see you there for more of these discussions.
Thanks, Kath. Great.
Okay, see ya.
Bye.